somebody's going to think I'm a Pentecost preacher. You know, there's nothing like being with the people of God and standing in a congregation of people that's smiling and they love the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no greater man that had ever lived and ever walked the face of God's creation than Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He did more good than any one man that ever lived. He did more good than any group of young men that had a being in the world. His name was Jesus Christ, and He is the great one. He is the one from God. And when He came, my friend, some people didn't believe Him. Some of them would have not known Him if He was standing back there and He had His back to them. But I want to tell you what, my friend, when He opened His mouth and He started speaking, people knew who He was, because He was the great and the bright and the morning star. He was the greatest man that ever lived and ever walked the face of God's creation. If Jesus Christ, in His words in this book right here, and He's in every page of this book from the beginning of Genesis to the end of Revelations, if His words will not make you feel better and lift you up and make you do what you ain't never thought you could do before, then there's no other word that I could say to you, friend. When Jesus came to this earth, He came for one purpose, and that was to save man from his sin. That's the reason He came. Jesus Christ has always been. He was with His Father in the beginning. All things were created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and by all and all things were created by Him. He is, He was, and He is to come. He's the great I Am. He's the everlasting Father. He is the one that created the heavens and earth and all things therein. He ever so laid the foundations and the boundaries, and He holds the balance of the world within the very hollow of His hand. He knows you. He knows you better than you know yourself. He knows you. He knew you before you was created and formed in your mother's womb. He knows you by your name. He loves you with a love that runs wide, deep, and it has no end. It's higher than the sky. It's deeper than the sea. It's as far as the east is to the west. He is, He was, and He is to come. Now you see, He came the first time, meek and gentle as the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world, John 1:29. But the next time He comes, friend, He's coming back to take you home, to live with God forever in the after a while, to live with God forever. Only God can give you eternal life. I tell you what. The sermon that I had prepared tonight, I think I'm going to get up there in the pulpit and I'm going to start with it. But I tell you what, folks, I'm not telling you the I'm telling you the plain truth. I had rather preach than do anything in the world. And if I just knew the whole Bible and I could lay it out to you, I would. But I'm still learning. And I ain't got there yet. You know, I read a book here just the other day, and this has nothing to do with what I was going to preach or what I've been saying. This book was telling me all these things. How a guy's supposed to be when he preaches. How he's supposed to stand. And you know what? When I read that book, I got kind of down a little bit. My wife kind of encouraged me. Because I think I broke all the rules in the book. It's the way I am. You know, when I went to Jamaica and I preached to those people over there, those people love the Lord over there. Those people that were sitting there in that congregation when we were preaching to them, you would never know how poor they really were. This one girl gave me a card. I still got it. She said, "Mr. Barry, I would give you more, but this is all I got." But I want you all to think about something tonight. Jesus Christ gave His all for each of us. When He laid His life down and He went to that old rugged cross of Calvary, He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." That's the greatest prayer that ever dropped from the lips of mankind. When he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And all the suffering and all the pain and all that he went through. I mean, folks, think about this. That was God manifested in the flesh. Before he went to the cross, how they beat him, how they kicked him, how they cursed him. They even spat upon the Lord's face. He's the one that's Savior of the world. He came for one purpose in this world, was to save man from his sin. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to his riches. Who abounded toward us in all wisdom and understanding, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in him. He's my Savior, he's my Redeemer, he's my Lord, he's my Christ, he's my everstay, my mighty staff to lean upon, and my great counselor in time of. I believe I'm going to try that sermon I wrote tonight. You know, Luke, man, I got enough mics on. Can y'all hear me? Over in Luke 15 was what I had studied and what I had written this little old piece. These thoughts down. I'll put it like that. These thoughts down. I've always had a problem trying to preach from an outline because I can't read it and talk to the people. And it's pretty hard to sit down and write a sermon on Saturday afternoon and try to preach on Sunday and memorize it. That's a pretty hard task. But forgetting all about those things, let's go back to what I was talking about. Let's go. I want you to all open your Bibles to Luke 15. And I'm going to read the scriptures from 1 through 7. Because that's what I had studied on. And I'm going to make this little talk. And, okay. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doeth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Do Christians have an obligation to restore a lost brother or sister who has fallen from God? Yes. Can a Christian go astray? Yes. And do Christians mean to go astray? No. Sometimes Christians go astray and are lost. They do not mean to go astray, but it can happen when they lose sight of God and become weak without Christ. This is true, and it can happen to any one of us at any given time. In Psalms 119:176, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquities of us all. Psalms 44:17, all this has come upon us, yet have we not forgotten thee, neither have we dealt falsely in thy covenant. God does not leave you nor forsake you. The Lord desires all who have gone astray to be restored. In Galatians 6, 1, 2, it says, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Ephesians 4, 2, "With all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love." The strong and the weak. The strong Christian must be helpful and support the weak brother and sister in Christ. Paul said it like this, 1 Corinthians 9:22, "To the weak became I as weak that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men that I might by all means save some." Romans 15, 1-2. "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification." Galatians 6:10. "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." If a brother or sister has gone astray from us and are lost, we must go and find them and help them find their way back to God. Yes, when our brothers and sisters in the Lord church has fallen down and been overtaken in a sin, the spiritual have an obligation to restore them. Do it with a spirit like Christ, positive helpfulness, not with a negative behavior, running him down, because next time it might be you. In a gentle way, in the spirit of humility, consideration, and mercy, get up, go out, find him and bring him back. James 5:19, "Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins." That little piece right there means something to me. Because there was a time when I was that lost sheep. I was that lost sheep because I was a young guy and I just moved to Orange. And of course, I was a welder. And I really didn't go to church and I really didn't serve the Lord. I'd been baptized and I'd obeyed the gospel before I went in the Marine Corps. And then when I came back from the Marine Corps, I went to a welding school to learn to weld. And I was the only one out of the welding school of two classes that got a first-class welding job. And so I was welding, and along with that in my life, I grew up, I kind of liked motorcycles and cars. So I had an old drag car. Me and this other old boy put together. I did all the welding, fabricated everything. He was the mechanic on the engine. And I didn't have much money in that car, but when them old boys seen me coming, man, they'd say, "Well, man," they had to tune their cars up. Because I was pulling up in that Chevy too, and I had a big block in it. Hey, babe, I could stand her on the back wheels. I had a lot of fun, yeah. But you see, this is what happened. I lost my job because they shut the shipyard down. I didn't have a job. My wife had a baby, and my baby died. And I'll tell you now, folks, I didn't have anything to do. I had time to read the Bible. And when I was reading in the Bible, and I read in there in Hebrews 6, 4 and 6, and when I read in Hebrews 10, 29, where it says, those who have trifled under blood, under foot, the blood of the Christ, and I had been away from God. And when I read that, I didn't understand very much in the Bible at all. But I called the church, and there was a preacher there. And so I went down and talked to him. Now, I want to tell you, folks, I was in a bind. Because when I read that Bible, I thought I was gone forever. I said, there's no way that God's going to forgive me. I thought it was over with. But when I went down there and talked to that preacher, he set me down on the couch and he talked to me. He told me, he said, now, James, and he showed me this in the Bible. And he showed me that scripture, that last scripture that I read in James, where it said that let me tell you all something, folks. In this lifetime, if a man is lost, it's his own fault. Or it's maybe our fault for not sending, taking the gospel to him. As long as a man has got the breath of life in him, he can be saved. He can go come to Christ. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Acts 17:30. I think that's it, ain't it, Bubba? Peter said, repent. Where's that verse? Nay, except he repent, he shall all likewise perish. That's in Luke 13. And the one I'm trying to get, repent for the time of refreshing. Let's see. Now, I'm going to get it, folks. I ain't leaving until I get it. Repent. I'm going to have to open the Bible. Acts 3:19. Give me two words.
I just
looked at
Acts 3.
It's in Acts 3:19. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins be blotted out, when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. See, let me tell you something, folks. Let me tell you something. Now, this is just the way it is in life. It's in life for us. We are helpless. We are hopeless without God. Without God, we can't do anything. Jesus said, without me, you are nothing. You can do nothing. Well, I'll probably preach three sermons, and I don't know if I've tied any of them together. But there's one thing for sure, what I want to say, is that God loves you, Jesus died for you, and you can be saved tonight. If you've never named the name of Christ and bowed the knee to King Jesus, you can do it tonight. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that God raised him from the dead, you can be saved. You can come and confess his name before men. He said, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before the Father and the holy angels. He said, nay, except you repent, and shall all likewise perish. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Salvation is as near your heart when you believe, in your mouth when you confess. For with a heart man believeth unto righteousness, with a mouth confession is made unto salvation. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Learn of me. See, the gospel is taught to a man. And you know what? Every man can learn it. And it's all the same for every man. There's no difference. God's no respecter of persons. What he does for Johnny Joe, he'll do for Sally Sue and you too. See, God loves everybody. He loves everybody the same. If a man is lost today, it's his own fault. God has done everything he can do. If there's any who needs the prayers of the church tonight. We got elders here that can pray for you. And if there's any here who's never obeyed the gospel, but you know what the gospel says, you can come to Jesus tonight. You can bow down and be saved from your sins and every sin that you've ever done, everything you've ever, bad thoughts you've ever thought, can be wiped clean. You can be a new man in Christ. He said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. If there's any who has a need tonight, we're more than willing for you to come. And I promise all of you this, that the next time I come, if they'll give me at least a week to study, I'm going to get one sermon together that starts at the beginning, it ties into what I started with, and it ends with what I started with, and you can be saved. Won't you come tonight?
Against the law.